Local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
Hi, this is Half Moon Run, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by your CFRC News Collective, Ara McCauley, Jesse Bell, and Jenny Hinch. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcasts, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Ara McCauley, and here are your local news headlines. The recipients of the City of Kingston's 2026 Rural Community Program Fund were announced last week at a special ceremony at the Glen Burnie Fire Hall. Rural Kingston, which includes the area outside of the defined urban center, is home to approximately 12,000 individuals, or 9% of the total population. The fund invests in events and programming that foster community belonging, celebrate rural life and culture, and create opportunities for residents and visitors to experience rural Kingston. The community celebration on July 17th shone a spotlight on this year's recipients as chosen by city staff and the Rural Economic and Community Development Working Group. CFRC was on hand for the event, which was emceed by Craig Desjardins, Director, Office of Strategy, Innovation and Partnerships at the City of Kingston.
Today is about recognizing the people and organizations who are helping strengthen rural Kingston through practical, creative and community-minded projects. The Rural Kingston Fund, funded by the Samsung Solar Project, was created to support local projects that reflect the character, priorities, opportunities of rural Kingston. These projects that improve community spaces, bring people together, support rural recreation and culture, celebrate agricultural heritage, and create reasons for residents and visitors to connect in rural places.
Mayor Patterson and Councillor Oosterhoff spoke to the importance of recognizing the distinct nature of rural Kingston, as well as what the area has to offer.
Good morning, everybody. It's such a pleasure to see you all, and really to celebrate rural Kingston. That's really what this is about. And, you know, Councillor Oosterhoff and I have had many great discussions over the years about how rural Kingston is different from the urban Kingston. And it's important. It's important to recognize the great community that we have here. And I think that the Rural Community Fund is a great way to support amazing, as was said, diverse projects to really celebrate what life in rural Kingston is. And so, I know that sometimes rural Kingston can feel forgotten, feel left out, feel that sometimes that we're very focused on the urban core of the city. And I recognize that as mayor. And so that's why I wanted to come and just to talk about rural Kingston, that Kingston wouldn't be Kingston without our rural area. But of course, that comes down to our community members, our partners, our organizations that are doing such great work here. So congratulations. Obviously, as a city, we're very proud to support the work that you're doing, and I look forward to more great things ahead of rural Kingston.
This is really, really important because it's about seed money too, seed investment. Through this fund, local organizations, as we heard, are supported in delivering initiatives that foster community. And that is the key for me and for this committee, and I think for council that supports this, is building our community and our rural residents. With the second year in funding, we are proud of the impact it's already had in our community. Last year's funding supported a variety of initiatives and brought people together, strengthening community connections, enhancing local assets. We want to build on this success for future years.
This year's funded projects included a repeat recipient, Sounds of the Pines Concert Series, and four new projects, including Pearson Park Rink redevelopment, a well for a community garden, a five-stand recreational shooting sport experience, and funds for reusable programming equipment.
This year's funded projects demonstrate the breadth of rural Kingston, from food security, music and culture, youth agricultural learning, recreational tourism, and winter community infrastructure.
Three of the recipients were on hand to speak to their projects, starting with Pete Scott, representing the Scott Ecological Fund.
Scott Ecological Fund is a private foundation, registered charity, with a mission to advance education in the realm of food security, educating the public, with an emphasis on youth. We've developed a community garden on Battersea Road to make land available to those who don't have land because they're in apartments or whatever. Of the 28 big plots, 3 meters by 5 meters, 15 are being used by community garden participants, and 7 are being used to produce food for St. Vincent de Paul, along with several other smaller plots. It's part of the City of Community Garden network, but it's the only one that's not on public land. Well, we try to utilize rainwater collection on site. The recent summer drought period seemed to be getting longer and more frequent. So having a well on site will ensure that there's still a water source there for the community garden. If you know of anyone looking for land, there's some vacant lots available. We're a little late now, but get in line for next season.
Mike Mandel spoke on behalf of Sandhill Presbyterian Church.
Rural community churches struggle, as you all know. Attendance decline. Well, this is going to be our second annual this year, so we're very, very pleased. We had a great response last year. We had Kelly Trache in playing the violin at our church, and it was pretty well packed. And then we had John McClurg, a local fellow, and he played also, and it was pretty well packed too. So we were very pleased with that. So we're quite excited about this year.
Two members of the Kingston and District Trap, Skeet and Sporting Clays Club, Louie and Sandy, spoke to the impact of their funded project.
We have about 140 members, but I'd like to say we're public, we're open. If someone wants to come try it out, sure, sign up. We'll pair you with someone with experience. We can provide the shotgun shell. We are open. We're a very friendly club. So we're trying to promote the industry for more shooters in the future. It's a fun sport. The club is all volunteer driven. So if you're part of a group and you want to just try something different, I mean, yes, you can throw axes at a board, but for us, you know, come try the shooting part. But we want to do a 5-stand, and I'll let Sandy get into that part.
Hi, everybody. My name is Sandy McCaldon. Growing up, I had more broken shotguns in the gun safe than I'd had broken hockey sticks in the garage. So being able to find a place that is CFO certified and approved to shoot is important, and to be able to practice and just keep up on the sport is like finding a good golf course. To 5-stand, what we're looking for here is to offer another game. It's equipment heavy in one little area. The club's managed to put together multiple machines to give different presentations. We're not shooting paper, we're shooting clay targets. It goes bouncing around or it goes flying through the air and people try to shoot it, and we've made a sport out of it. People that are into hunting use it to practice, and some people just shoot to shoot. It's their golf game. So we're looking to buy a new rabbit machine. It's a type of clay thrower, and along that we will be updating the equipment to be more technologically up to date, so that we have RF remotes to do it rather than stringing extension cords everywhere. That'll just provide a little bit more difference for what we can offer here.
Craig Desjardins spoke on behalf of recipients that were not in attendance, including the Thousand Islands 4-H Sheep Club and the Joyceville Rink Redevelopment Committee.
And it's a new program. It's equipment for youth participants. This project will help purchase durable equipment for youth participants, including farm boots, show clothing, grooming kits, portable shade canopy, and a portable sheep pens. The intention is to connect young people, urban and rural, with agriculture, animal care, responsible food system, rural heritage. And this is just an incredible program. Anything that connects and educates our community about the incredible heritage and complexity and importance of agriculture is a wonderful project. So we certainly congratulate them on this great project. And last but not least, the Pearson Park redevelopment. Some of you may be aware that the park had came a little run down in years. A group of volunteers stepped forward and have done an incredible job of revitalizing that. We're very pleased to announce that we're providing funding of up to $5,000 to assist with the many of sort of health and safety related, some improvements to doors, to access, padding around the rink. And again, just an incredible story of volunteers stepping forward and making a difference.
That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Sports Desk.
This is part 3 of your OUA football season preview, brought to you by CFRC Power Plays. Today we're looking at the 9th place team from 2025, the Waterloo Warriors. A team touched by tragedy, the Waterloo Warriors showed a great deal of will and skill in 2025. A scrappy unit with some outstanding athletes in all three phases, the Warriors showed flashes of brilliance last year in narrow losses to Ottawa and Carleton. They upended the Varsity Blues on a last-second field goal to tally their first win of the season, before turning in a respectable effort in the Battle of Waterloo against Laurier.
They faced Queens in their homecoming game, and that's when everything changed for the program. Late in the second quarter, starting quarterback Nick Orr was knocked out of the game by a hit from Justin Pace. This hit, which resulted in a lengthy suspension for Pace, had immense consequences for Orr, who may never play football again. The Warriors would rally around their injured quarterback and score one final win against the York Lions to finish 2-6 on the year. Honestly, pretty remarkable given the circumstances. Let's take a look at their 2025 stats. They did finish 11th in the conference in points for with 137, that's about 17 points per game. They were 10th in yards per game with 359 and finished with 2,720 yards, also 10th in the conference. They were 8th in total pass yards with 1,901, and they were 6th in total rush yards with 969, about 121 per game. Not too bad. Now defensively, they did finish 9th in points allowed with 283, but this is a defense that is better than the stats would indicate. They were actually 4th in passing yards allowed per game with 263, and 9th in rush yards allowed per game with 168.8. They finished 6th, so right in the middle, in total yards allowed per game, but once again, I think this defense is better than the numbers indicate. In terms of point differential, they were last in the conference with a minus 146. Largely because their offense, which once again dealt with some pretty major injuries, just couldn't string together consistent scoring drives, but I don't think that's indicative of where this team actually was. Over the last five seasons, in 2021 they had a 3-3 record, the final year of quarterback Trey Ford. In 2022, 1-7. 2023, bounce back year, finishing 3-5. 2024, 0-8, although I will say they were one of the better 0-8 teams I ever watched. And in 2025, they finished 2-6. So, a lot of up, a lot of down, but I do think the program is trending in the right direction. Looking ahead to 2026, well, there are a lot of departures for the Warriors. Running back Quinton Springer, who I thought was one of the better players on offense, period, for them, has transferred to their crosstown rivals at Laurier. Wide receiver Romel Samuel Slocum is gone. Running back Anthony Miller, a long-standing Warrior, is gone. Backup quarterback Nolan Caban is done. Nick Orr, as we touched on, is likely out for the season. Thankfully, Waterloo does have a new generation ready to step up on offense, including quarterback Emmett Ward and running back Roy Vanderveen, who was an unquestioned bright spot for the Warriors last season. They also have the outstanding linebacker Michael Omoseni back, and I love watching Omoseni play. He is so fast, so instinctive, just a fantastic defensive player. The Warriors do have a tough 2026 schedule ahead of them. They play the Ottawa teams back-to-back before traveling to Kingston for what will surely be an emotionally charged rematch with the Gales. That's Queen's home opener. The Warriors have tough games against Laurier in the Battle of Waterloo, Windsor, and Guelph before closing things out with McMaster and York. And I do think Waterloo could beat McMaster, but I am going to give the Marauders the benefit of the doubt this year. I've got Waterloo going 1-7, but finishing in 9th ahead of York and Toronto. This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, July 22nd, 21 is your high with a 30% chance of precipitation, dropping down to 14 overnight. Thursday, July 23rd, 24 degrees is your high with a mix of sun and cloud, dropping down to 15 overnight. Friday, July 24th, 25 is your high, so slightly warmer with a mix of sun and cloud in the forecast, dropping down to 15 overnight. And then kicking off the weekend, Saturday, July 25th, high of 25, and you guessed it, a mix of sun and cloud. Sunday, July 26th, looking like a beautiful end to the weekend here in the city of Kingston. Daytime high of 25 with a mix of sun and cloud, but more sun moving into the afternoon. Monday, July 27th, we do have rain in the forecast. 50% chance of rain, going to be humid and cloudy. 27 is your high. And then Tuesday, July 28th, we've got a high of 29 degrees with heavier rain and a higher percentage sitting around 65% here in the city of Kingston. This is your City of Kingston traffic report. Cranbrook Street from Lakeview Avenue to Days Road is closed for pedestrian improvements. Baggett Street from Barrie to West Street is closed for the Eastern Canadian Little League Championship. Bath Road from Sir John A to Portsmouth Avenue, expect delays for the installation of intersection pedestrian signals. The city is installing intersection pedestrian signals at several locations to make it easier and safer for pedestrians to cross busy roads. Wright Crescent at Palace Road to Palace Road is closed for a contractor to complete roadway repairs, pedestrian safety and access improvements, and traffic calming features on Wright Crescent. Norman Rogers Drive from Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard to Van Order Drive started on June 15th. Norman Rogers Drive is closed to through traffic to facilitate roadway rehabilitation and configuration improvements. This work will improve road condition, accessibility, and safety for all road users, including students, families, and local residents. Reminder that the City of Kingston and Utilities Kingston are in the midst of a reconstruction of Princess Street. This major infrastructure project includes upgrades to underground and above-ground utilities, as well as improvements to enhance safety and comfort for pedestrians and cyclists. Berry Street to Queen Street is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street, and Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is still closed to accommodate construction activity and staging.
Hello, Kingston, and welcome back to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's Community News and Arts Coordinator, Jenny, and this is your weekly events and concerts calendar brought to you by Flying V Productions. Whether you're looking for live music, community events, workshops, markets, or family-friendly activities, there is plenty happening in Kingston this week, so let's get into it. Wednesday offers plenty to do, beginning with silent reading on Sydenham Street before Games in the Square and the Swinging Summer Concert Series Takeover Downtown in the evening. This week also features a free Movies in the Square screening of But I'm a Cheerleader. Music fans can watch Taryn McKenna and Vince DeBeal at the Belvedere Hotel, Sean McCollin at the Cove Inn, Fiverr at Many Moons Events, and Luella as part of the Soundwaves concert series at Spicer's Dockside Grill, and of course, an open mic at Time Out Bar. Thursday features the Kingston Public Market, a community picnic at Cultivate Arts Commons, a Princess Monaco film screening at Robert Sutherland Hall, and the Story Stitched in Fabric workshop at the Tet Center. Another Movies in Square screening following the School of Rock. Live music includes Rob Moore at the Cove Inn, Pete's Wolf Island Records musical review at Hotel Wolf Island, Sam Coons and Ryan Gallagly at the RCHA Club, Battle of the Bands, Punk vs. Metal at Daft Brewing, Spaced, Terminator and Anchor Lines at the Broom Factory, and the National Youth Orchestra of Canada at the Isabel Bader Centre. Friday is packed with entertainment. The off-season dance festival gets underway at Hotel Wolf Island, while Kicking It Country returns to the City Hall Amphitheatre. Music highlights include River City Junction at the Cove Inn, the Celtic Kitchen Party as part of the Waterfront Concert Series, Tyler Brett Forks at Mayor's Creek Brewing Company, Marion Dexler Band at the RCHA Club, Mellow Lily at the Turninog, and the Astros at the Toucan. Heading into Saturday, you can browse the Kingston Public Market, catch Chef Dimanche at City Hall Amphitheatre, enjoy Saturday sessions in Confederation Park, or take part in Vibrant Voices, a song circle for the 2S LGBTQIA+ at the Central Library. The off-season dance festival continues on Wolf Island. Live music includes Matt Dixon at the Cove Inn, Andrew Macban at Spicer's Dockside, Outskirts as part of the Waterfront Concert Series, and the Howe Island Rockin' the Rock 2026. Wrapping things up Sunday, the Memorial Center Farmers Market returns alongside the Cataraqui Indigenous Market in Confederation Park, as well as Yoga and Battery Park. Music includes Gerald McGrath at Finkel's Shore Park, Smellowship and Midnight Magic Rodeo Show at Hotel Wolf Island, Spencer Evans at Time Out Bar, Head Over Heels at the Cove Inn, Princess Towers with Efren Strange and Emily Steele at Hotel Wolf Island, and live band karaoke with the Oreos at the Merchant Tap House. That's your weekly events and concerts calendar for July 20th through the 26th. For more information on any of these events, visit CFRC website and keep it locked right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. The event's calendar is brought to you by Flying V Productions, bringing live theater, comedy, and unforgettable entertainment to audiences across Kingston. Be sure to check out their upcoming shows and events throughout the season. I'm Jenny. Thanks for listening, and have a great week, Kingston!
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Join us Sundays 11 a.m. through 1 p.m. for Flat Baroque here on CFRC 101.9 FM with me, Dinah Jansen, on my quest to learn about and present the best in opera music. Journey through the classics with me and enjoy brilliant compositions and librettos by all the greats performed by world-class artists while I break down a little history and walk you through each of the acts. Come for the drama, the comedy, the tragedy, and just simply beautiful music for all to enjoy over Sunday brunch. Flat Baroque every Sunday at 11 a.m. We hope you can join us. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present 17, local artist Danny Tessa's debut single. Written 2 years ago after applying to university, the song reflects a period of uncertainty and conflicting emotions about leaving home and starting a new chapter. Through the writing process, Danny came to an important realization: no one has all of life's answers, and that's totally okay. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Danny Tessa's 17 on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
At 17, I thought I'd know everything. Still, I don't know anything at all. Right now, I can't tell you where I'm headed. Don't know where I will end up in the fall. Half of my heart is telling me to leave. The other half is hoping that I'll stay. Maybe that's because I'm scared to move on. Maybe I'm just afraid of change. Wish I had a few. Everything is slipping through my fingers. Feels like I am running out of time. Staring at the ceiling, talking to my guitar. I can't always find the words, but I still try. Friendships changing faster than the seasons. They never say they wanna leave, but they still go. Everyone around me is growing up and moving out. It feels like they know something that I don't. Don't know.
never met a dal I didn't like. If you are a fan of dal or lentil curry too, listen to The Dal Project on CFRC 101.9 FM, Thursdays from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Join me, Sayada, in learning to cook many kinds of dal or lentil curry from across the South Asian diaspora, while talking about culture, migration, and memory.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present On and On, a collaborative song written by Nolan Hubbard and Seth W.J. Hunt back in 2025 that has become a staple of their respective live sets. It's a song about doing your best to keep moving forward despite sometimes worrying about what it all means. It was recorded, produced, mixed, and mastered in Hubbard's home studio, marrying their singer-songwriter styles with some of their more alternative rock-pop-leaning influences. The steady groove, rich harmonies, and building energy through the bridge into the outro make it a great song for listening while driving this summer. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream On and On by Nolan Hubbard and Seth W.J. Hunt on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Tell me all the things you love about me, even if it's only just a lie. Like when I wrote that song about you, 'cause you told me that I had to mention she's the best that's happened in my life.
Latest songs from artists in Canada and from around the world.
Hosted by DJs from coast to coast to coast.
30 minutes of Canada's newest music downloaded exclusively from the Earshot's digital distribution system.
You're listening to
Earshot Daily.
Earshot Daily. Earshot Daily. Earshot Daily.
Welcome to Earshot Daily. I'm your host, Dan Politano. I hope everyone's having a great day today. At the end of 2024, I was searching on earshot-distro.ca for music to play on this show, and I came across a girl named Katie Mall. I instantly fell in love with her music. She's from Toronto, and she released a 4-song EP on January 29th, 2025. It's called Nostalgic Girls. I'm going to play the title track from that. Here's Nostalgic Girls from Katie Mall.
This is Canada's Music.
Earshot Daily.
Just carry on.
of better days. I hope you will not always be lost in a game. When the night falls on you, we think of better days. I hope you will not always be lost in a game. Yes, when the night falls on you, we think of better days. I hope you will not always be lost in a game.
That was Lost in a Daze by Marshall Simpson. Marshall Simpson is composed of singers, songwriters, and musicians Eric Marshall and Eric Simpson. They're from Nova Scotia. Long Branch is a music, sound, and indie rock collective that composes and performs site-responsive music, experimental sound, and rock shows. The band has performed at Long Winter and Wavelength festivals at the National Music Center in Calgary, Toronto's International Film Festival, Ralston Recital Hall at the Banff Center for Arts and Creativity, Ontario Place Trillium Stage, among other music venues in Toronto, Montreal, and beyond. This is their song, Touchdown, It All Begins With.
Step out finally to a better day.
Was meant to be.
Earshot Daily.
Don't you feel like trying something? I could never.
Thank you for tuning into this edition of Earshot Daily. I'm your host, Dan Politano, and that last song was mine called Breaking Us in Two. If you'd like more information on me, you can visit me online at danpolitano.com. I also host the Dad Life podcast, which is available on all streaming platforms, and a new one called Beyond the Mainstream that's available on YouTube. If you're an artist and want to get a chance to get on the show, check out earshot-distro.ca for more information. Marissa Burwell makes music that is part backseat of the minivan crooner, part blow-out-the-speakers indie rock. Born and raised in Regina, Saskatchewan, Burwell blends her warm vocals with layered, mature songwriting. Positive reception to her 2019 debut EP and 2022 full-length album Bittersweet cleared a path for Burwell to play some of the most exciting stages in North America and Europe. In 2023, she signed with Devil Duck Records and released her second EP, Either Way, to widespread acclaim. This is her song, Say It Again.
Music from Earshot's digital distribution system.
That was Taste Me by Band of Liars. They encapsulate the essence of rock and roll with a dynamic, guitar-driven sound inspired by legends like Jack White, Billy Talent, and Queens of the Stone Age. They're from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. I got time for one more song. Idle Garden is a modern indie rock, Brit rock band based in Calgary, Alberta. The band cultivates a unique sonic landscape blending larger-than-life soulful vocals, driving rhythms, and expansive keyboards and guitars. The song is called Black Revolver. Thank you so much for tuning into this edition of Earshot Daily. I'm your host, Dan Politano, and I'm from Victoria, BC. Remember, you can visit me online at danpolitano.com. We'll be back tomorrow with another half hour of brand new material from all across the country here on the Earshot Daily show. To provide feedback, send us an email at earshotdaily@ncra.ca. I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Earshot Daily, heard across the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
For more information, visit earshot-distro.ca and support community radio at ncra.ca.
Until tomorrow, or Monday if it's Friday.
A word that gets used a lot at a radio station is the verb broadcast, as in to broadcast. Ever wonder about the past and future tenses of that word? Are you tempted to say, I broadcasted my show, or my show will be broadcasted? Well, actually, most standard English dictionaries say that the past and future tenses of the word broadcast are exactly that, broadcast and not broadcasted. So, if in doubt, it's probably okay to say broadcasted, and there are a couple of dictionaries that allow for that, but you're probably safest saying, I have broadcast my show. You're listening to A Gramophone with Daniel Wolfe.
So they tell me, I can't recall who said it. I know I never read it.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could borrow a musical instrument free of charge, just like you can borrow books from your local library? We think so too. That's why the Joe Chitlin Memorial Musical Instrument Lending Library, also known as Joe's Mill, has been lending guitars, keyboards, saxophones, and many other instruments to the Kingston community free of charge for almost 20 years.